That's all I have to say for myself. Go with me, if you would, back to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. I want to preach something to you that I personally needed to have preached to me. And I hope it'll be a comfort to your heart like it was to mine. Verse 19, Matthew 28, verse 19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, immersing them." Immersing them. Whoever it is that you teach, absolutely immerse them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What did He command us to observe? What did He teach us in His commandment to observe? Well, He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love God with all your heart. And He told us to love each other. May that sink into my heart. And I mean that. May that sink into my heart. Love each other. Love each other. Absolutely love each other. At all cost, love each other. With all the characteristics of true love. Be kind one to another. We can respond with one of two things. Kindness or the opposite of kindness. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted one to another. Be patient with each other. Forgive each other. Down here on this earth, we are not going to do things perfectly. We're just not going to do it. One day we will, but not down here on this earth. We are not always going to be the little angels that everybody thinks we ought to be. Our sin is still going to rise up from within us. We don't want it to, but it's going to. Our sin is still going to show itself time and time again. We are going to offend each other. I'm sorry. Let me apologize in advance. We are going to offend. We are going to be offended by each other. We're going to act at times in a way where we wonder, and everybody around us wonders, if grace has ever truly entered this heart. What are we supposed to do in moments like that? Love each other. Love each other. Love each other. The disciples came to the Lord one time and said, "How many times do I have to forgive my brother before I can cut him off?" They said, "Is seven times enough? Is that enough times? After he sins against me seven times, can I cut him off after that?" The Lord said, 70 times 7 is not enough. Aren't you so glad our Lord does not cut us off after 490 sins against Him? I would have been cut off a long time ago. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. He said, love each other. What else did He command us to observe? He gave us a table with bread and wine. And He said to take that table in the remembrance of His death, to remember the fact that He died, to remember why He died, to remember what He accomplished in His death through His broken body and His shed blood. All of the satisfaction of God that He accomplished for us. He gave us an ordinance of water baptism to confess union with Him in that death. In water baptism, we openly confess before everybody. We're telling everybody, this is my only hope. This is all I have. This is my only hope, that I am in Him. My only hope is that I am in Him, completely covered in Him. I mean, toe to head covered in His blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. I identify with Him. I identify with His gospel. I identify with His blood to be my only hope of salvation. My all is in Him. In baptism, that's what we confess. I'm in Him. And in the Lord's table, we confess, He is in me. Christ in me is my hope of glory. That Christ is in me. Union with Him. Union with everything that He is and His union with everything that I am. His union with my death, my union with His life. Verse 20 says, "Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and..." This is what I want us to look at tonight. This is what I want us to dwell on. "And He said, 'Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.'" That's what I need to hear. That's what every child of God needs to hear. The end of the world is coming. The end of our time on the world is coming. The end of the world is coming. And this is what I need to hear. "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Always. Always. Now, it's easy to believe that He is with us when things are going smoothly. It is so easy to believe that He's with us when everything is going smoothly. But the reality for us is, rarely do things go smoothly. Very rarely. It's considered by most who know these kinds of things that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. The book of Job, it was written first. If that is indeed the case, then the oldest recorded believer said, the oldest believer on record said, "Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." Full of trouble. The life that we live on this earth is short. It is short. It is flying by. It really is flying by. But sometimes it seems so long. It seems so long. And the reason is because it is so full of trouble. No believer is exempt from it. I would love to believe that there would be a way we could be exempt from it. But no believer is exempt from it. But here's the promise of our Lord through His Word. Even though this life is going to be so full of trouble, even though in this world you shall have tribulation, He said, "Be of good cheer. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm with you always. I'm with you always." Now let's prove that. Let's prove it to our own hearts by seeing it in the Word, seeing how our Lord was with our brethren, those brethren who came before us. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. This is a message that a dear brother named Stephen preached. He was captured and he was brought before a council for preaching Christ. And he knew that his life was on the line. And they gave him one more opportunity to say something on his own behalf. And he used that opportunity to preach Christ to them. And this was the message he preached. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That was his message. He preached to them how Christ, God, was with his people. If you look at chapter 6, verse 15, it says, and all that sat in the council, of which one of them who sat in the council was a wicked, sinful man named Saul of Tarsus, later known as the Apostle Paul. All that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on Stephen, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. God was with him. I just love that. God's Spirit came down on that man. God blessed his word. In this moment, God blessed his word. Chapter 7, verse 2, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. He told them about Abraham. They said, do you have anything to say for yourself? He said, men, brethren, listen to me. God of our father appeared to Abraham. He told them how God promised Abraham a son. And he finally gave him a son. And how Isaac, his son, is a picture of Christ and the promise of his covenant. Now, think about the reality of Abraham and Isaac. Think of the reality of their life. Abraham, we've mentioned it a lot recently, and I'm okay with that. Abraham took Isaac to the top of Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice. Can you imagine how badly Abraham did not want to do that? Can you imagine how badly Isaac did not want that to happen to him? Can you envision both of them saying, this is not how I thought my life would go. This is just not how I thought things would turn out. But they both believed God. Enter that, what, 3 days they traveled to? Enter into those 3 days. Abraham had to be thinking, surely the Lord is going to step in. The next day came. Surely the Lord is going to step in. And the next day came. Surely the Lord is going to step in. And they walked up the mountain and he listened to his son say, I see the fire. I see the wood. Where's the lamb? He said, son, the Lord's going to provide. He will. Where is it? Where's the lamb? I don't know, son, but he'll provide. They both believed God. They trusted God. And just before Abraham had to do it, God said, Abraham, Abraham, I'm with you. I'm with you. And he was. And they both came back down from that mountain crying, God was with us. What happened up there? I'll tell you what happened. God was with us. He didn't leave us. The end of verse 8 right here says, Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs, his 12 sons. Verse 9, and the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. They sold Joseph into Egypt. It goes on to say, but God was with him. God was with him the whole time. He was sold into Egypt. He was sold. Think about the reality of Joseph's life. He was sold into Egypt. But God was with him. God was with him in that pit. God was with him when he became a victim of child trafficking. He was sold. Kidnapped and sold. God was with him all the way to his throne, governor of Egypt. As a type of Christ, he became the Savior of his people. God was with him through it all, every bit of it. Joseph's family moved to Egypt, and they were in good favor. Verse 18 says, "Till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live." Can you imagine that? Enter into the reality of their lives. These are our brethren. This is God's people. Their houses were being forced into. I'm going to use the word hearts. Their hearts were being ripped away from them. Cast into the river. Verse 20 says, "In which time Moses," he had to be taken away too. He had to be cast into the river too. But God was with him. And God sent him as a picture of Christ to be the deliverer of his people. He said, "Moses, go tell my people," and this is what God sent him to say, "Go tell my people I'm with them. You go tell them that I'm with them." Verse 34, Acts 7, verse 34 says, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, 'Who made thee a ruler and a judge?' The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. All of that time, God was with them. They didn't know it at the time. They should have, just like we should too. But he was with them. The Passover lamb, the cloud by day, the fire by night, the parting of the sea, the smitten rock, the manna. They didn't like it. We don't like this. We're sick and tired of this light bread. But it was there. All of that is Christ being with his people, never leaving his people, providing all their need, all of their eternal need, all of their temporal need, everything they need. He is made to be all I need, all I need. Every earthly need represents the one great spiritual need he provided, salvation from sin. Verse 37, it says, "This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear." Who is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just a type, Christ himself is coming. He came to bear the burden. He came to pay the ransom. He came to set his people free. The burden was sin. The price was death. The freedom was accomplished. Verse 52, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one," Christ himself, "of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers." For the sake of his people, because of their transgressions, Isaiah 53 says he was cut off from the land of the living God. Psalm 22 says he was forsaken. Cut off and forsaken. But do you know what 2 Corinthians 5 says? Turn with me over there, 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 19. It says, to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Well, which one is it? Was He cut off and forsaken by God, or was God in Him reconciling the world to Himself? Which one is it? It's both. If God said Christ was cut off and forsaken, then Christ was cut off and forsaken. And if God said He was in Christ reconciling sinners to Himself, then He was in Christ reconciling sinners to Himself. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew that His Father wouldn't leave Him. He knew He wouldn't. He said in Psalm 16, Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. He knew my Father will not leave me. He will not leave me. Even though I have to endure something as horrible as this, He'll never leave me. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. All of these believers here in this chapter are named. And of every one of them, every believer here, come the end of their story, it can be said the Lord was with them. Every one of them. Hebrews 11 verse 13 says, these all died in faith. These were God's people who were looking to Christ. They spent their lives trusting Christ and finding all their hope and their comfort in the fact that He would never leave them. They trusted and looked to Him, but never leave them. And verse 33 says, Hebrews 11 verse 33, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Do you remember when David defeated the whole Philistine army with a rock? That's all he had. That's all he had. This is all I have is a rock. All those men, Goliath, that giant, God was with him. That's all you can say about that whole situation. God was with him. Only God can do that. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousnesses, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. You remember when they threw Daniel into the lion's den? Can you imagine the reality of having to live through the experience of that? They threw him in. Having to actually go through that. The king did not want Daniel to be thrown in. The enemies of God tricked the king and they forced him to throw Daniel in. Hold your place right here in Hebrews 11 and turn to Daniel chapter 6. Just after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 6. The king wanted so desperately to spare Daniel. But a law had been made and he couldn't go back on it. And it grieved the king. It grieved him that he knew he was throwing Daniel to his death. Verse 18, Daniel 6, verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went before him. He couldn't sleep, he couldn't eat. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. The king said, Daniel, are you dead? And he said, not at all. My God is with me. I've told you the story of that dear old man who was completely bent over. He was in a nursing home. He couldn't stand up. And a couple of brethren went to go visit him. They walked into his room. He just completely bent over. He was looking out the window, had his back to them. And they said, Brother Hubert, are you all alone? And he said, no, brother, the Lord is with me. That king said, Daniel, are you dead? He said, no, brother, the Lord is with me. He's with me. Go back to Hebrews 11. Verse 34, it says, quenched the violence of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, I see four men in there. The Lord was with them. Verse 34 says, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. How many times were Paul, Silas, Peter, all the disciples busted out of prison by the Lord? By the Lord. They would throw those guys into prison and God would send an earthquake and shake all the doors off the hinges. They would lock them up in chains between two guards and God would send an angel down there and break all the chains off and pick them up and say, you're coming with me. God was with them. Here's my point. Here's where I'm going with all this. They were thrown into prison. They were thrown into the lion's den. That's the reality of the life they lived, the trials and the troubles. They lived it. Verse 37 says, they were stoned. The message that Stephen preached, we were just there in Acts chapter 7. At the end of that message, they were so furious at him for preaching Christ, they stoned him. And while he was being stoned, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and God opened it for him. And he saw Jesus Christ standing at his throne, waiting to receive him. God was with him. God is with every child of his. Not one child will ever be left alone. He said, I'm with you always. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Never. God will take care of you. If we belong to him, if he's caused us to look to him and see him to be our only hope and our only help, then God will take care of us. He will never leave us. He is with us always. Now, here is my prayer for every single one of us here. May He give us faith to believe that. He is going to be with us. He is not going to leave us. He is with us always, even unto the end of the world. Whether we believe that or not, He is with His people. May God give us faith to believe it. Lord, increase our faith. Would You increase our faith? As the last word of our text in Matthew says, Amen. That was the last word in that verse. So be it. So be it. All right, let's all stand together.